IB Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Irish Breakdown Podcast upon further review edition. If you guys are anything like me, you're still riding a little bit of the high from last night. I'm here with my guy, Brian. We got a chance to start diving into the film, and the good was still really good, right? Notre Dame still won by double digits yesterday. They are still Sugar Bowl champions, and it's been a fun, really fun last, call it 20 hours for Notre Dame Nation.
Got about 3 hours of sleep last night, Trevor, and I woke up like, did I dream all that? And then I looked at my phone, and I was like, nope. I saw you going crazy on Twitter, and I was like, nope, didn't dream it. Trev is crushing people today on Twitter, right, by the way. But no, it was a great day for Notre Dame. It was a great win for Notre Dame, and we're going to kind of put a bow on this victory, and then tomorrow we'll get together and we'll talk about Penn State. But today we're gonna kind of – this is kind of what you do as coaches, right? You have the game. The next day you watch the film. You grade it, you break it down, you talk with your team, you go over the things you love and you want to build on, you correct mistakes, and then you get ready for your next opponent. So, and that's what we're going to kind of do today, Trev, by, as you said, we're going to revisit the keys to victory. And then there's some other things that you and I saw on film that some were encouraging, some were frustrating, and we'll break those down as well. No mailbag in this show. If you guys do want us to talk more or answer questions or address certain topics, feel free to go ahead and throw a super chat in there and we'll get to those. But y'all might be tapped out on super chats after what y'all did yesterday, but we appreciate everybody. Looking forward to doing the show, Trev, because you watched the film and it confirmed what you and I talked about, which is the reality is you can talk about this mistake from Georgia, this issue with Georgia, this penalty, that penalty. Both teams have things they can point to. And we're going to point to things in the show. If they do this, if they do that, if Riley makes this read, if they make this one block, if this dumb penalty doesn't get called that shouldn't have been a penalty, or if Notre Dame lines up correctly on this play and doesn't commit a penalty, boy, this thing could have been even worse. And here's the reality. What the film told me going in is exactly what the film told me coming out, Trevor. And that's Notre Dame's a better football team than Georgia. They weren't last year. They may not be next year. I have no idea. But this year, this was a better football team than Georgia, and they played like it. They didn't play great. There are some things that I thought, like, we'll have some conversation about Mike Denbrock's play calling the second half, where last night I didn't love it. I thought he just kind of did enough to run it out, but when you break it down the second half, you're like, you know what? He was a little bit more in it than I thought he was when you consider some different things. So we'll break that down as well, and, of course, the film confirmed that, yeah, Al Golden does know what he's doing, and they are pretty good on defense. So, but just, it was great watching that film, Trevor, because it was fun to watch it and look at it from a standpoint of that team. They were just better. I mean, I remember breaking down the all 22 of the Clemson game in 2018 and the all 22 of the Bama game in 2020. And just saying to myself, like, man, that they were so overmatched there. And even in areas where they lost the battle last night, Notre Dame O-line, they weren't overwhelmed by Georgia, and we'll dive into that as well. So, a lot to discuss, Trev, but it's so much more fun to do these shows when we're talking about a win. And it's so much more fun to do these shows when you got another one coming up next week, which I am very excited about.
Yeah, when we have this to kind of put a bow on everything, and then we can start diving into the semifinals matchup for the first ever 12-team college football playoff. It's a great feeling. You know, we all went to bed late. We were up late ripping off a 5-hour-long podcast, man. Brian, you were up to the wee out. I mean, you were up until the morning.
I went to bed about 6:30.
I was about to say, yeah. You crossed over from the threshold of it's late to now it's early.
Yeah, my in-laws are visiting, and when I went to bed, they were getting up. So, yeah.
So, but again, much rather have that issue after Notre Dame gets its first New Year's Six win in 30 years than if it was the other side of the story, right? Mm-hmm. But you guys know the drill, right? It's upon further review. So what we're going to do is we're going to start out by diving into a review of the keys to victory before we start talking about the offense and defense specifically. And in the keys to victory show, Brian, you and I sat down and we talked about what did Notre Dame need to do as a team as a whole, right? Not just specific matchup-wise on offense and defense to come away and win this game. And the first part that we're going to review and kind of see if they, you know, passed, see where the grade is – were they ready to handle the moment? That was key number one for them, Brian. So what do you think?
There's no doubt they did that. I mean, when you look at that first series of the game, I mean, even offensively, they didn't play well in the first series, but it wasn't, for the most part, it wasn't like they were swimming and like, oh my gosh, the moment's too big. We'll talk a little about Riley later, but I thought Riley was a little too anxious, a little too amped up early, but it wasn't like he was overwhelmed to the point where he was just playing the way Kevin Jennings did against Penn State. But you look at the defense on that first drive. I mean, that was such a tone-setting drive by the Notre Dame defense that you're like, all right, the defense came to play today. And like when the defense is flying around like that, you're almost kind of like, okay, like this is going to be okay, right? And you know, I got a little nervous at times watching the offense play, and you just kind of felt like Georgia was eventually going to hit a big play, which they did. Defense buckled down. But it's just, it was one of those things where when you saw how the defense came out to just flying around the ball, there was no question that this Notre Dame team was in a situation where they were clearly ready to play. There was no doubt about that.
You know, one of the things that the Notre Dame team has been saying really at the start of this playoff run is, hey, guys, we've been playing a playoff game since September 7th. And I think that mentality and that mantra of the team was on full display yesterday. You know, this was a Notre Dame defensive performance, especially that the defense just kind of went out and did what they did, you know. And I do think the magnitude of the game kind of fueled a little bit into it. Like the boys were hitting yesterday. That was one thing that kind of popped off the screen for me when we dove into the 22, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. But, you know, Notre Dame as a team talks all the time about how this isn't something that's new to them. They've been playing in elimination games now for the last 2.5 months. And it showed, you know, it showed in them being ready to handle the moment. And it showed in them being able to handle when things weren't going their way. You know, they've just ripped off a 12-game win streak. At some point in that 12 games, in multiple different games, things didn't go their way from time to time. So all of that experience in games like that, I think, to me, it knocked it out of the park for them being ready to handle the moment. So the second
I give them a check on that one. I mean, a plus on that one, excuse me. This isn't an execution necessarily grade. This is a mentality, mindset, and type of grade, and I think Notre Dame was absolutely ready for this moment. So I give them a plus. I either go check, minus check, or plus, Trev. And sometimes I may go double minus, but fortunately we haven't had any of those since the second game of the year.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough that, yeah. The second overall team key to victory that we talked about was you got to win the turnover battle. Mm-hmm. And pretty self-explanatory here, pretty straightforward to look at, seeing that Notre Dame forced two turnovers and had basically zero unforced errors on their end, Brian. So,
I mean, this is another one, Trevor. Like, not only did they check the box, but this is a plus because there's winning the turnover battle just from a number standpoint. And in that regard, Notre Dame won the turnover battle 2-0. You could argue that they won it 5-0, which is the point you made last night during the show, which was technically it's 5-0 because it's literally called turnover on downs. It's not count as like the typical turnovers that we think of where there's an actual, a play that happens that allows them to lose the ball and you to get the ball. But to your point, three other possessions ended with Notre Dame making a stop that wasn't followed by a punt that flipped the field. But even if you just look at it from the standpoint of just traditional turnovers, it's still a plus. If you add the extra little sauce of what you referred to last night, Trevor, which was a phenomenal point, because again, you've got the ball inside the 20-yard line, Georgia does, and you don't score because of something that Notre Dame did. That's a turnover. But either way you look at it, it's a plus. My point is it's a plus even without the additional extra stuff, Trevor, because the turnovers they made, it's not just that they won it 2-0, Trevor. It's that they did it in a way that truly changed the face of the game. It truly changed the outcome of the game. You know, it's a 6-3 ball game. Notre Dame is up 6-3. And actually, hold on. So I'm trying to think. The two turnovers you had, so the first one, Georgia's in control of the game at that point in time, right? Notre Dame's offense is playing well. Georgia's putting a drive together. They had just gotten – this was on the play where they had the long pass, right? Or was this on the second drive? No, second drive. So they're moving the ball down the field. You hit that back shoulder throw. And by the way, what was funny, I watched that on the TV copy. Did you see Mike Mickens? It looked like he was about to ready to go out there and tackle the dude. Did you see they had to kind of stop himself a little bit? That was awesome. He was like, he was just right there on it. But so they hit that back shoulder throw. They convert on a 3rd and 7. They hit that little slant route and beat Leonard Moore on a 3rd and 7. You know, they get the ball down the field. It's a 3rd and 1. They get a false start. You run an inside zone that converts a 3rd and 6 with a run. Gabriel Rubio gets knocked back, driven off the ball. Not a good run fit from the linebacker. It's like, okay, is Georgia starting to kind of seize the momentum of this game right here? And then Gabriel Rubio has a great stop on the next one. You have a little motion play on 2nd and 9 where I thought Jordan Clark did a really poor job of handling the motion. He went across high and stayed high, which allowed for a really easy, like, little 3-yard out cut. Guy goes up and makes a play. But he did make the tackle short of the first down. They get to 3rd and 1. That was a key moment. Like, even though he did a poor job, he closes on the ball. He tackles the guy short of the sticks, get into a 3rd and 1, and the defensive line just destroys Georgia off the line. Like, here's the thing, Trev. We go back and look at that play, and you think of the turnover. Best case scenario for Georgia on that play was a -2-yard gain and settling for a field goal. I mean, they just blew Georgia's line up. But then Adon Shuler comes flying down. It was a great call by Al Golden to see the short. He had the short area on the backside, brings Adon off of it, and makes that big play to completely change the look of the game. And it was textbook. It wasn't, oh, terrible job by the running back. It was, I don't know what you're supposed to do about that as a running back. He put his helmet right on the football. That's just textbook 101. Great awareness by the Notre Dame defense to see the ball and get the ball. That's a game-changing play. It's about to be 3-0 Georgia, and your offense hasn't done jack so far. And you get the ball back. And then Notre Dame kind of starts to take control of the game, but you have a little bit of a back and forth. You know, Georgia, Notre Dame ends up punting on their next series. Then the 3rd series, they hit the big play. Notre Dame settles down, forces a field goal. The Notre Dame offense settles with a field goal. Then the Notre Dame team comes back, and I was like, this is where another moment where I felt like the game was kind of starting to turn a little bit. You go 2nd and 19. You give up an in cut where I thought Adon Shuler gave way too much inside cushion when you have double inside linebacker blitz. Like, you can't just allow a free release like that. Easy 2nd and 19 completion. Get to 1st and 10. Junior Tillamaka gets driven off the ball. They give up a 7-yard run. And just like we saw the last drive when Gabriel got driven off the ball, very next play, they run a read zone, and R.J. Oben, I think it was R.J. Oben, blows up the running back. The guy keeps it, and Junior reads it perfectly, and he's right there to bring him down for a 1-yard loss. And then that forces a punt on the next play. Jordan Clark, again, a guy who had made a mistake on the previous drive, makes up for it, has a great 3rd down pass breakup. This is a theme for the defense the entire night. Mistake followed by make a big play. And so they force the punt. They kind of punt back and forth after that, basically 2 3-and-outs. And then the Notre Dame offense finally puts the drive together. So you weather the early storm. So what we talked about, handling the moment, right? Weather the early storm. Defense is finally settling in. They'd force kind of back-to-back 3-and-outs. Since the 66-yard gain, this is what the Notre Dame defense gave up, Trevor. They gave up since the 2nd and 19 conversion, the defense gave up a 7-yard run, a -1, an incomplete pass, a +13, +2, +5. Oh, sorry, that's the Notre Dame offense. A incomplete, and then Notre Dame takes a 6-3 lead. Georgia decides, which I think I understand Kirby being aggressive, but I think his aggressiveness came from a place of, if you really feared the Notre Dame defense the way you should have, and you read the moment the way you should have, because like the previous drive, if you look at my notes, Trevor, previous drive, they had a 1st and 10. They ran a slot fade that Adon Shuler was all over the tight end. Second play, they tried to run a screed, and Junior Tialamaka was all over it. And on 3rd down, Howard Cross and Bryant Young brought really good pressure, forcing complete. I mean, Notre Dame starting to heat up your offensive line. That's one of those ones where it's 6-3. Let's just take the knee and go in and regroup. We're down a field goal. And they decided to go for it, and R.J. Oben makes the play of the game, forces the turnover. And just like that, a 6-3 game that you felt like Georgia's was starting to gain momentum on, Notre Dame then kind of neutralized that, and it was kind of a a wash going into halftime, all of a sudden becomes a two-score game because of that big play from RJ Oben. So they weren't just turnovers, Trevor. They were turnovers that resulted in points being taken off the board for Georgia, a potential field goal, right? Think about that. It's a three-point swing on the field goal, and this becomes a potential 14-point swing, minimum, you know, four-point swing, right? Where it, or 10-point swing, depending on, you know, you get a field goal there instead of Notre Dame giving up seven. So it's either 6-6, instead it turns into 13-3. You know, or it could have been, you know, I mean, a bigger situation if you get the touchdown on that first drive. So those two turnovers were just monumental. And then Notre Dame never returned the favor like they did against Indiana, right? Where, you know, you needed that interception by Xavier Watts to stop them from scoring because you just turned the ball over. So that was huge, Trev. And then, of course, when you turn in like the turnovers on downs like you talked about, it only adds to it. But that turnovers are like anything else. Sometimes they're like, okay, turn it over. It's not that big a deal. It's 3rd and 10 at midfield. You threw a go ball that they intercepted at the 12-yard line. Whatever. You know what I mean? But then there's turnovers that are game-changing. And both the Notre Dame's turnovers yesterday were game-changing. And here's the thing. They were both forced. They weren't – what a dumb play by the running back. What a dumb play by – I mean, we've seen Carson Beck make a lot of those what were you thinking type of throws this year. That's not what this was.
No, that's – you mentioned it at the start of the show, and I've been pretty active on Twitter or X, whatever the heck it is called now. But, you know, there was a lot of people whose rebuttal was, well, you forced a turnover on a team that routinely turns the ball over. It's like, I don't think you understand something. This wasn't a pass thrown up into triple coverage that was just an errant throw. I mean, these were two – four. It wasn't fluky. Right? Like it wasn't like a Navy turnover where Blake Horvath goes to throw the football and just drops the ball. Right? Like it wasn't anything like that. Right? And so, yeah, you know, I look at the Trevor Etienne fumble similar to how I viewed the Jaden Thomas fumble against USC. Like it was, you know, it's unfortunate. It sucks, but it's a really great play by the defender.
Great defense.
Yeah. You know, and that's what a Don Shuler came in and did. It's textbook. It's how you're supposed to do it. Yeah, I saw a tweet earlier today that Notre Dame is the first team to have 3 sacks and 3 forced fumbles in a college football playoff game, and they did it in the first half. And then you compound that with, look, we're going to have a lot to talk about on the offensive side of the football today, but one thing that they passed with flying colors is they didn't turn the football over.
Right.
And not even did they not turn the football over, they didn't put their players, they didn't put their running backs in positions where they could have.
Yeah. There was only what I thought one throw that Riley had on a screen.
Mm.
And it's like, dude, there's no way you should have tried to throw the ball that way.
Yeah.
Outside of that, like you said, Trev, there weren't any times you're like, oh boy, you know, you dropped that ball, but fortunately you recovered it. You know, yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. So I'm with you, man. The winning the turnover battle gets a plus for me as well. You said plus for you, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, again, 2-0 by itself is good. That's a win. But when you talk about the game-changing nature of the two, there's no way I can go anything but a plus.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. The final team overall key to victory was special teams must handle itself. And, Brian, I'm going to be interested to see what your breakdown of this is. I have a feeling that we're going to be on the same page here because special teams was a game changer yesterday. And we spent a lot of time talking about how special teams can just do no harm. And not only did they not do harm, now penalties.
Well, I would argue that they did, but continue.
That's why I said I'm interested to see where you go with what your grade is here. But, you know, there's arguments that can go on both sides of do no harm. And I think they did enough positives, not just a net neutral, to kind of nullify what those negatives were. So
yeah.
Brian, what's your grades for the special
teams? It's a plus. I mean, look, I was frustrated by the two penalties. And while I don't think the first running into was roughing, it was close enough to where I wouldn't have argued with it if they called it. You know what I mean? Like I think by textbook definition, I don't think that's roughing the kicker. I think the kicker sold it a little bit. And I think the kicker also kind of got caught in air. And that's why he spun a little bit. Like it looked worse than it was. But if they would have called it, I'd have been like, all right. I mean, you know, that's why you don't go high. You always are supposed to be going in front of the kicker. That's just, you know, special teams 101. Two mistakes in a row that could have cost you. you had a situation where they were going for it on fourth and two, and they make a mistake fourth and seven, and then you go back and you create a mistake that gets them back in fourth and two. Now, fortunately, your defense is a beast, and they forced a turnover on downs there, but you needed your defense to bail you out. And those were frustrating, you know. But the reason I'm still going plus here, Trevor, is because even though the special teams did harm in those regards, they weren't turnovers, meaning neither of them actually resulted in Georgia getting a first down, right? Even the, you know, because even the fourth and two that they went for it, I would have given the special teams a huge double minus on that sequence if the Georgia would have gone and converted the first down and maybe got points. But it didn't. Your defense bailed you out. But even if you did give up points there, I feel like your special teams did enough to overcome that. I still hate the rugby punt. I do. I will always hate the rugby punt. But even with the couple rugby punts, I thought they did a great job of flipping the field with James Rendell. You know, he had a couple boomers in there that I thought, I mean, it's just, boy, when that kid gets a hold of it, man, like it goes. And I thought he did a nice job, averaged 43.4 yards per kick return, had two land inside the 20. None of them were touchbacks. On those five punts, none of them ended up being touchbacks. They ended up getting good field position. The defense was in good field position on all of them. I think there was one that Georgia returned 7 or 8 yards outside, and that was on one of the dang rugby kicks. Outside of that, they didn't have, you know, they didn't really have any good return situations there. So I was good there. It was not good, but it did no harm. You did a good job of flipping the field. But then when you talk about the clutch nature of Mitch Jeter's field goals, not just that he made them, but he made them from depth. You know, your last one's with like less than a minute left, and it was, I believe, the 48-yarder was the one that he kicked at the end of the second quarter. I think it wasn't 48, 40, 44, 48, and 47, I believe, is the order. Yeah, 44 was the one he made in the middle of the second quarter. Then he made one from 48. And then the 47-yarder was the one he made in the fourth quarter. So, you know, you're talking about a kid who came in this game 8 of 15 and had been struggling, you know, kind of coming into the playoff. And he goes 2 of 2 and, you know, 40-plus yard field goals to give you a 6-0 lead. That alone was, okay, it's positive. And then when you factor into the notion he made a third one and he went 3 for 3 on 40-plus yard field goals. And that was a clutch one because – that meant that Georgia now needed two touchdowns to win the game. Where if he misses that field goal there, it's still a touchdown and a field goal, which means you just got to hit one big play and then you're in field goal range. And so I thought that was a huge, huge moment for Notre Dame in that second half as well, him making that. But then when you get to the point where you look at just the total – game-changing play. You talk about the sequence of the field goal, so Notre Dame goes up 6-3. You have a field goal. You have a sack. You have a Notre Dame touchdown. And I'm trying to think that they actually ran two. How many plays did they run before the turnover? Let me pull up, because it was on. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull this up here real quick. So
yeah,
they go up 6-3. They ran two plays before the it was the first play. So you had Notre Dame hits the field goal, and then you have the forced fumble, the strip sack, and then Notre Dame scores in the very next play, and then you come out. They ran two plays after that. So that's five, and I knew there's two plays in there somewhere. And then you have the kick return for a touchdown.
Yep.
In a sequence of six plays, you went from a 3-3 game to a 20-3 game. And the special teams got you 11 of that when you consider the extra point, or actually, yeah, 11 of that. You have the touchdown, an extra point. You have the other extra point, and then you have the field goal. 98-yard kick return against Georgia, a team that hasn't given up a kick return for score since 2018. I'd have to be a nitpicking you-know-what to not give them a plus in that scenario, even with the mistakes that were made. Because, again, this is what championship teams do. You made mistakes, but you made up for them. And we saw this from Notre Dame a lot yesterday. We saw guys making mistakes, Pat Coogan had a lot of he got his butt whooped a lot yesterday, but there are some very clutch moments that he had in that game. Blocks, including blocks, but then also the snapping it on fourth down when George was offsides. You know, we saw other guys come out and have bad moments and then make up for them with big-time plays. And that's what you do, man. So three field goals of 44 longer, flipping the field with your punt team. You didn't give up any long returns. You had a 98-yard kick return for a touchdown. Sure, I wish they wouldn't have, you know, had some of the silly penalties. But outside of that, this was an excellent job. And then they executed that fake late in the half perfectly, flawlessly. So I got to give them a plus. This is one of the better special teams jobs we've seen Notre Dame in this stage like this. Like, and I've been critical of Marty Biagi times, but this is a program that 9 years ago, I just remember watching them against Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, just get embarrassed on special teams.
Sure.
I mean, just getting pinned inside the 15-yard line every time they tried to kick it. I mean, it just was like you're watching two teams that just in special teams had no business being on the field with them, special teams-wise. And now you come to it where, like, Notre Dame dominates the special teams and against a team that had been known for playing sound special teams. It's a great place to be, man. And so I give Notre Dame a plus in this situation.
Yeah, you and I are in the same boat there, Brian. And I was interested to see how you were going to grade it out and what your grades were going to even out to, see if it was going to be similar to mine, and it was. And the ultimate deciding factor for me was the positives, right, that the Notre Dame special teams unit contributed to this football game. Not only did Mitch Jeter go 3 for 3, the first time he was 100% from field goal range since, was it Texas A&M or Georgia Tech? Because for him to go out there and do what he did, especially on that stage, is fantastic.
In the playoffs, he's been perfect in the playoffs. Did he miss one against Indiana?
He got blocked, I think. I think he went 2 for 3.
That's right. Indiana. He did have one blocked. So the last time he was perfect was Louisville. He went 1 of 1.
Okay.
So, yeah, the last time he went perfect on multiple kicks, Trev, was the A&M game. He was 3 for 3. But, like, even not only that, like, just looking forward, his stroke was really pure. It was really confident. And like you said last night, that's another part of special teams, is you gave a team with a pretty dynamic kick returner zero chance to return the ball. And the one time you let him return it, you pinned him inside the 20. I forgot to talk about the kick coverage, the kickoff situation and the kick coverage last night was also outstanding. So another thing to add to that. So, yeah, you made mistakes, sure, but you more than made up for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what really good units do.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other way that I gauged it, too, is really the only unit that had the issues was the punt return team for the Bryce Young 2 penalties and the Jack Kaiser penalty that put them back and forth in 2. So for me, special teams also gets the plus. That 98-yard kick return for a touchdown just had to have been a backbreaker for the Georgia sideline.
Yeah.
You know, you go into halftime, you make some adjustments. You know, you weathered what was Notre Dame's storm of that 17-point flip or that 10-point, you know, rally to end the half there. And so you go out and you expect your defense to come out and run the adjustments that you made at halftime, 98-yard kick return. And which is interesting. You said it last night. They had their Bo Schembechler moment because at all other points in the game, they weren't giving him an opportunity to return it, you know. So I thought that's what was weird. Like one of the adjustments that you made coming out of halftime was we're going to kick it to this guy.
I wonder if it wasn't intended. Maybe the kicker just didn't get enough of it.
Sure.
You know, you wonder sometimes like if that factored in, like they didn't think they were going to have to cover, but the guy didn't make it. But here's a crazy stat because you don't have a lot of returns over the course of the season.
Yeah.
Georgia came into that game ranked 21st in opponent kick return average. They're going to finish the season 87th. Because of that one return.
Goodness gracious.
Well, they had given up, you know, they'd given up, see here, it's times 20. They'd given up 352 kick return yards on 20 returns. Well, then you add a 98-yarder on one return, and that's all that Notre Dame had yesterday, and that's going to jump your average way up when you've only allowed 20 returns all season.
Sure.
And it was just a big – just a big moment for Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we are going to get geared up here and move over to the offensive keys to victory, review those and see where they had kind of met, where they fell short. But you guys know the drill. Before we do that, make sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, share this podcast with your friends and family. And of course, the best way to support what we do here at Boards, or the best way to support what we do here at Irish Breakdown is go to boards.irishbreakdown.com to the preview message boards. We'll be right back.